This is Social Entrepreneur with Betty Gronenberg of You Code Girl.
I have always been resourceful and resilient, and that's been my life story throughout my life.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, you'll hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur. And today we're talking to Betty Gronenberg of You Code Girl. There's a certain amount of sass you should probably use when you say that, and I just don't have it. So if you are a person of a certain age, and clearly I am, you probably remember fairly clearly what it was like around the early 90s when this idea of the, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers here, the World Wide Web, the information superhighway came into being. And in the early 1990s, Betty Gronenberg in Ethiopia, and she entered a computer science track in her college degree. In 1995, she became the first webmaster for the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. And at that time, about 37% of the computing jobs went to women. Well, today, nationally, only about 18% of the tech sector is made up of women. So Betty and her organization, You Code Girl, they're a Fargo, North Dakota-based nonprofit that focuses on building confidence and talent for young girls between the ages of 12 and 18. So here she is, Betty Gronenberg of You Code Girl. When you think about the big problem you're trying to solve, Betty, what's the big problem?
It is the low number of women participation in our future, which is a technology-driven market. Our young ones are left at an incredibly alarming rate. So we want to go to the young girls where that divergence of happens and cultivate their confidence so they can be the driving force and innovative behind instead of consumers.
I think I've heard you quote some statistics around this. When it comes to women participating in computer science degrees or technology careers, what are those numbers like?
It's going down than it used to be. Long time ago, women were at its heights, 35% of technology participation. But now, nationally, the number we have is 18%. And regionally, both in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota, it revolves around 14%.
14%. So, and you said you're trying to reach young women when this divergence point happens. So when is it, do you think, that women get off the track that they could see themselves as coders?
Yeah, and it's, the research has found that many multiple researches has been done in middle school is where at young age of 12, 13, where STEM-centered activities like Science Olympiad, Lego Robotics, things like that are not as exciting or appealing. It's based on cultural norms. Friends are important. And if there are not friends going to that activity, then they wouldn't. Also, computer science suffers from an image problem where it's not fun or it's complex or it is for boys only. So that's where the problem lies.
And so what's your solution? How do you help resolve this gender gap in technology?
Yeah, we want to help the young girls see technology as a solution for real world problem, because that is the definition of a computer science, is solving complex problem by breaking down into smaller pieces, solving real world problem. So making technology fun, relevant, and accessible to them, and bringing closer to them role models, women leaders in STEM and technology, so that they can see what they can be if they choose to, breaking that shell and opening it up and having them play with it, so to speak, using project-based enrichment programs.
Can you kind of describe, I looked at your website, I saw that there are these sort of three tenets of activities. And so can you kind of describe what it is that You Code Girl does?
Yeah, we want to cultivate that confidence. What is it that wants the girls, deters them from going to these fields that they seem unknown or uncharted territory, so for them to dare to dream. So building confidence is an integral part of everything that we do. And also building skill sets and showing them that the various ways technology solves problems today and in the subjects that are interesting to them, if it is music, art, design, what have you. And the third thing is showing that connection between the work that is being done to the technology careers. So role models in tech, visiting tech companies coming and demonstrating products and technologies and tools.
So do you run a camp then?
Yes. Our main event is our summer camp, which runs, last year we ran it for 3 weeks, and it has that element of entrepreneurship, building that innovative mindset, solving a software problem from the idea stage to prototyping to creating. So we, for example, developed a website for two social enterprise, local social enterprise, and we did that from bringing the customers, the owners of the enterprise, and interviewing what they would need as a product, and then iterating on that, and then building a prototype. We also combined engineering and programming together. It's called Arduino programming and electrical engineering. So we created light up t-shirts, wearable technology, where based on the beating of your heart sensors, the t-shirts can light up, and they built a scarf and a t-shirt. And that was a lot of fun for them, experience of bringing two different disciplines and technology, programming and hardware together. And of course, building the app was the third aspect that we did.
So they're building not just, they're playing not just with code, but they're building websites, they're building apps, but they're also building robotics and even drones. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a company that does drone, because North Dakota is a premier drone experimentation and building site. So we had the company come and demonstrate how they do it, what they do, the code behind it, and that the girls can be coders of drones if they so wish. So that was also a hit with our girls.
That's great. So Betty, can you talk a little bit about your path, about how you ended up doing this kind of work? I mean, where did your interest in technology begin?
Yeah, I'm a software engineer by profession. I've been in the industry for a long time. My last job was a manager, but I kind of stumbled into that path. So because I was a second year student majoring in statistics, so I knew numbers very well. I loved maths. But when the university offers the computer science program, they took students from mathematics and statistics department so they can create this prototype degree program, and I was one of them. And I have never seen a computer or touched one before.
So this was like 1991, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
And where were you?
I was in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa University. And so we had this IBM box, a dummy terminal connected to AS400. We used black and white DOS, you know, the floppy drives. And we write code, program called BASIC, and prints to that noisy printer, you know.
With the green and white stripes and, you know,
I coded things that are maybe I'm not proud of now, and where it break the system, you write go to forever loops, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was exciting. It was scary, but got help from our classmates and we worked things together. And that was my early introduction to it. And I've never really worked in any other profession than software and web development.
And in 1995, I saw on your LinkedIn profile, what was one of your earliest jobs then?
I worked as an email administrator. I was the first email in the country that we get packets through a network, through a gateway in London, and then we unpack it and distribute it through nodes to other users through their laptops. So we were doing that system operation and troubleshooting. Right after that, then the internet, the World Wide Web came, and I moved on to work for United Nations. And there developed the website for United Nations Economic Commission for Africa in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
And you were, so 1995, you were a webmaster for the United Nations. That's a pretty early adopter,
yes,
right?
It was pretty cool. I was sent for a training to Canada to learn that and how to deploy it in New York, UN New York. And that was all exciting and filled and terrifying at the same time. But I was just a sponge in soaking it all up. And
how'd you make your way to North Dakota? How did North Dakota enter your life?
So it was my husband. We both worked for United Nations in Ethiopia. We were both into computer science, into technology, IT for him. So that's how we met, and the rest is history, they say. Been in North Dakota for a long time.
So what brought you to North Dakota then?
Originally, my husband is from North Dakota. Eventually moved to North Dakota, and we got good jobs right away, so we stayed there.
So what was it along the way, or when did you say there just aren't enough women or girls in this industry? What was the moment for you that you said, it's not just that I see it, it's that I have to do something about this? What was that moment for you?
In the many places that I worked as, I find myself to be the lonely developer in the engineering department. And I always wondered why, you know, in this great United States where everything is possible, why aren't there many women? And as we go along too, when trying to hire people, and there just isn't any in the pipeline. So I wanted to see, simply put, more of myself in the workforce in technology. So I started volunteering in schools through Hour of Code and other activities, and people and trying to convince companies to sponsor events and things like that. People who saw my initiatives said, you know, you should apply for Bush Foundation. So it's, I guess my passion starts coming out and people start noticing that. And I want to help the young girls and see this is possible and you can be part of this too. And it's one avenue, and it's a pretty good avenue, a rewarding avenue that you can be part of. So the Bush Foundation application process actually helped me refine that thinking. And when I win the Bush Leadership Fellowship, that was the trajectory.
You had a general idea, but just the mere act of filling out the application to become a Bush Fellow, that helped you to clarify your thinking to form what eventually became You Code Girl. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. That was the turning point for me to go full-time and find this organization to be a change maker and invite more girls.
What difference do you think being a Bush Fellow has made for you? So you became a Bush Fellow in 2016. How has it helped you?
It has made a whole world of a difference, starting with mindset, that what is possible, what's available. It's almost like nothing changed, but everything changed.
I love that phrase. Okay, so what does that mean to you, though? Nothing changed, but everything changed.
That courage to go forth into the passion that's already there and exploring it further and exploring the leadership into the territory that is unfamiliar and building that network of people. When you exude that passion, it was easy for people to say, I'm here to help. What can I do? Let's build this thing together. And so it was exciting. I discovered more about my leadership journey and passion and potential, I guess.
So congratulations on being selected as a Bush Fellow. I know that there are a lot of people who apply, and so they must have seen something in you and in your application. And so congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
What's really been most difficult, do you think, about trying to start up this nonprofit You Code Girl?
I guess it's taking the leap to do it is the first step.
Oh, taking the leap yes.
To the unknown, having that courage that this is what I want to make a difference in. And so the difficult part.
Well, let me ask you this way. So you had an idea, you filled out the application, but then there's this entire field of things that need to be done. So creating a nonprofit organization, so all the legal stuff behind that, finding donors, organizing events, designing the curriculum. I mean, what did you tackle first?
I've always been resourceful and resilient, and that's been my life story throughout my life. So, and working in a community for this many years, working with people who've built relationship, and the passion and mission I have is easy to rally around. So the part is the legal, there is the legal structure, there is the programming, there is many aspects of it. So I guess we did a little bit of that in tandem and parallel. Also telling the story, I think that was the main part. Telling the story, inviting people to come with us in the journey. It could be parents, it could be students, it could be other partners who can help with skills, because I know what I know and I don't know what I don't know. So to invite people to come with. It has been phenomenal, to be honest. So we had great success. We had our legal structure done and the programming implemented. And we're doing our summer, our fall mentorship. We're gearing to launching it. We want to create that environment of building self-efficacy, confidence, awareness in STEM, and also relationship, building that social capital for the young girls to see other women in the field who can help them traverse the path. And what is your goal? What would you like to do? What are your career aspirations? If you don't have any, it's okay. These are the avenues you can explore. All these things we want to help them build. This is our year-long mentorship program. And we have many women, again, in STEM and leadership who said, Yes, count me in. So we have to work on the girls now.
That's great. So how many of these summer camps have you run?
Our successful one that we have done as You Could Girl, which is the only one, is with one last week. Okay. Previously, we did do a two-day sessions for middle school students. And we had 22 girls come to those in total.
Yeah. So you were practicing what you teach them to do. You put together a little experiment, you prototype it, and you see how it goes, and you see what you learn.
Yeah, and that's the whole software development process is try to fail fast and then go forward with a different plan.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that fail fast part. I'm not sure I've got the different plan yet. But when it comes to something you're learning on your journey, what's something that you've learned, Betty, that you feel like you could pass on to other early stage social entrepreneurs?
Yeah, to never give up when the going get tough and when not everybody is an early adopter of your idea. And to be comfortable, not comfortable, but be okay with no. No might mean that the person or the organization is not ready to go to that space with you yet, or the person hasn't understood the mission or fully on board, or it means self-reflectively that you have more work to do or more convincing to do.
Yeah. So don't give up even though you're getting a lot of no's. Yeah. Very good. If people are looking for You Could Girl online or on social media, where would they look?
We have a website, youcodegirl.org. U is a letter U, code, codegirl.org. We have active Twitter usage, also You Could Girl, and Facebook, You Could Girl. Visitors can go check out our website, see our programming, and we invite them to contribute, donate to our program if they feel inclined.
Very good. I almost feel like when you say You Could Girl, you should say it with some sass and some attitude, right?
Yeah, You Could Girl.
I love it. I can't pull that off. I'm sorry. You can say it. I just can't say it. A call to action. I heard you just now say that people can donate at your website. I think that's a great call to action. Is there anything else? You know, people have been hanging out with you and me for a while now. Is there anything else that you'd say, hey, I'd love to see you go and do this as a result of this conversation?
Yeah, I would love the community, every single one of us, to go mentor a child, a young girl, into, you know, the technology career, because that is our future and it's a slow-moving train. We would love partners to come along for a journey with us, collaborators. Of course, we'd love donors, but the most important thing is to go volunteer if you have the talent to go volunteer into your area schools, area nonprofits, people who are working for the same cause. Be part of it, because it takes all of us to be a tech-savvy generation.
Very good. It takes all of us to be a tech-savvy generation. That's a great place to leave it. Well, Betty, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. And while you're at it, will you do me a favor? Subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. It really helps others to find these stories of changemakers who are making a difference in the world. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.